Now we want to read just a few verses together from the book of Job. The book of Job. And we're reading together from the chapter 18. Book of Job in the chapter 18. And we're going to commence there at the verse 10. And Bildad here is speaking to Job. He's a man that has spoken the truth here in this chapter, but wrongly applies it to Job. For he thinks that the difficulties that Job are passing through are because of his ungodliness. So he doesn't fully understand the man Job. But nevertheless, what he speaks here is the word of God. And it is the truth concerning those that are out of God and out of Christ and no faith in him. Job chapter 18 and the verse 10. The snare is laid for him in the ground and a trap for him in the way. Terror shall make him afraid on every side and shall drive him to his feet. His strength shall be hunger bitten and destruction shall be ready at his side. It shall devour the strength of his skin. Even the firstborn of death shall devour his strength. His confidence shall be rooted out of his tabernacle and it shall bring him to the King of Terrors. We'll end our reading there, the verse 14. And we trust God will bless that reading to each and every heart. Bildad here is describing the false confidence of the ungodly man. And he's referring to his latter end. And what an awful end it will be for the ungodly and for the unconverted. But we praise God tonight for the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he came into the world to save sinners, and whoever will put their trust in him will be saved and pass from death unto life. But we're thinking of these words here in the verse 14, and it shall bring him to the King of Terrors. Now, what is this King of Terrors that he speaks of here in this passage of Scripture? And, of course, the King of Terrors is death itself. And death is a real terror to multitudes of people. That's why it is referred to as the King of Terrors. Now, when we think of a king, we think of one that has a dominion and one that bears rule and one that has authority and one that has power. And so it is with death. Death is like a king. We think, for example, of the awful coronavirus that has swept throughout the whole world and has swept tens of thousands of people away and into the grave. And we can see here that the description given to us in the Word of God is accurate. It is indeed the King of Terrors, the King of Terrors. Now, of course, when we think about death and when we think about this king, yes, we know that many a king has been resisted and many a ruler has been overcome. But here's a king and his approach cannot be resisted. You cannot resist. Not one of us is able to resist or fight against or put back this king, the King of Terrors, death. It doesn't matter where the man may live. He may live in a very secure place. In fact, he might live in some isolated place. But nevertheless, he is not safe and he cannot resist this king, however well concealed he might be. And we all know tonight, we all know from living in this world, we're all acquainted with this experience of loved ones, neighbours and so on. We know that there's only a very narrow span between us and death. A very narrow span between us and death. You remember the words of David the king. He said, there is only a step between me and death. Now, this is something that we have to consider. Yes, I know that multitudes of people, and I suppose at a time it's something that even every Christian before we were converted and saved, we would have pushed to the back of our minds, something we did not want to think about. But it's a reality. It has power. And its encroachments cannot be resisted. We know that at death a man is cut off from his possessions. He's cut off from all his possessions. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if so many, many people would just stop and think about this. Men that are living, people that are living just for the material and for the possessions of this world and all they can gather together, accumulating wealth. And yet when death comes, there is no negotiation. There is no argument about this. Death is no respecter of persons. The man is cut off from his estate or his castle, as the case may be, as the man is from his humble cottage. The king of terror comes, and who can withstand him or negotiate with him? You remember the words of the Apostle Paul to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and the verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Oh, the reality, men and women, of that truth. The reality of that truth. We came in with nothing. We came in naked and we go out naked with nothing. And when the king of terror comes, when death approaches, we are all severed from our possessions. We can carry nothing out with us. The Apostle Paul reminds us there in the verse 6, he says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Oh, dear Christian, tonight, if you're saved here in the meeting, think upon this, as we ought always to do. Godliness with contentment is great gain. You see, we have open before us tonight the Bible, the Word of God. And multitudes of people, they say, well, they say this book that you have, it has nothing to say to us today. It is out of date. It's an old book. Let's forget about it. It was all right for a former generation to open the Bible and to read it and to listen to the preaching of the word. But it has nothing to say to us today. Oh, what awful folly that is. What awful error. The word of God is right up to date. Every Christian can confess to this. Godliness with contentment is great gain. But where will we in this world find a man who's content, who's always striving after and hungering after the material? He's never happy. He's never satisfied. He's always on the edge. He's always or very often irritated. How true the word of God is. Yes, we brought nothing into this world. We can take nothing out. When we think of the approach of this king of terrors, death. At death, all our plans and all our projects are frustrated. We all like to make plans, don't we? And of course, there's nothing wrong. Within reason, we have to lay certain plans. The farmer there has to lay out plans. He just can't drift along from hour to hour. And that's only reasonable. And even the man in business, he has to lay down certain plans also. And within reason, there's nothing wrong with that. But oh, if we could keep this in mind. All our projects, all our desires, all our plans, they are all frustrated when death comes. There the plans have to lie on the table that were drawn up. All the projects we thought about, they're all laid aside. Death takes us away from them all. And as I say, it cannot be resisted. And of course, we know that we are severed from the tenderest relationships as well. But just briefly tonight, let us think about this terror. And multitudes of people have been reminded about it, as we know, over the past week and months, as never before. Oh, how quickly things can change in our world. One day we're going about our business and things are looking bright and things are looking up. And then suddenly this thing comes. But not for the first time in history, these plagues and these viruses have come upon our world. But men and women tonight, remember this, that there is one in charge and there's one in control of everything. You often think of the words of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us take it to heart. You see the sparrow? I'm sure most of us here, we feed the bird. You have a bird table at home in the garden. And Jesus says that not even a sparrow will fall to the ground without his permission. The little insignificant sparrow. Multitudes of them die, but not one. Not one will fall to the ground without the Lord's permission. And God allows things to happen. And he sends things upon this earth. The very storm is in his hand. Now death is a terror, of course, because it drives men into an unknown world. Think about it tonight. Maybe you're thinking about this. It drives people into an unknown world. Now, I'm not referring here to the Christian, the child of God who is saved. Because for us, it is not an unknown world. That's why we sing that great hymn, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine." Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. And the Christian has assurance of glory. And we're going to be with him forever and forever. And the writer to the Hebrews, you remember in chapter 11, encouraging the people of God. We look for a city whose builder is maker and maker is God, which hath foundations. We're going on to a city. No, I'm not speaking about the Christian. I'm speaking about the unsaved man. I'm talking about the man of the world. And it drives men into an unknown world. The unsaved man, of course, is full of speculations viewed from the ungodly point of view. It's all speculation, isn't it? All speculation concerning death and what comes after. A man will say, well, is there life after death? The philosophers, those educated, the scientists of our day, they'll say, is there really life after death? Well, they say, no, it's all a fairy story. That's just a lot of nonsense. There's no God, there's no afterlife, there is nothing to come. People say, they say perhaps when a friend has passed away, well, where is he now? And then they say, well, who knows? Who can tell? Now, I don't say that, dear friends, tonight. I don't say that in any light way. And I don't say that in any mocking fashion, whatever. But we all know the reality of it. We don't say these things lightly. No, they ought to stir up the Christian, the child of God, to be much in prayer. Prayer for loved ones and prayer for our country. And pray for the salvation of souls. But you see, it is all speculation. And no hope. Oh, it's different for the Christian. When the King of Terror comes, it's not a terror really. It is absent from the body to be present with the Lord. And how wonderful that is. Oh, but when this death approaches, when this king comes, what happens? I remember reading a story just recently about a certain statesman way back, a few generations ago. And just as he was about, before he died, he asked for a small card to be brought to him before he died. And he wrote just one word upon that card. And that was the word remorse. That's what he wrote. How sad. At the end of his days, at the end of life, just one word to sum it all up. After all his success and all his wealth and all his standing and prestige and everything else, just one word, remorse. And that's how he left this world. You see, conscience there often flares up very often like a fire. You know, sometimes when you've lit a fire, perhaps there in the garden, and you light a big fire and you're getting rid of a whole lot of old rubbish and so on like that. In fact, it happened to me just a few weeks ago. I lit this fire in the garden, getting rid of old branches and everything else, and it burned, and it burned well. But the next day, or maybe a couple of days after, I was out and I was just hoking through it, as it were, and suddenly the flames burst up again. I was glad I was a little bit away from it. But you see, very often, when individuals come to depart this life, conscience flares up like a fire. Flares up like a fire. And their sins of their past life, their ungodliness, their refusal of the gospel, it all flashes before them. The French philosopher Voltaire, the French infidel as he's referred to, just as he came to die, before he died, he said, "I am abandoned by God and man." What an awful way to go. Yes, there was remorse. There was emptiness. There was hopelessness. He said, "I am abandoned by God and man." He didn't have a friend about him anywhere. And he said, I would give half my wealth just for 6 months of life. But he didn't get it. He didn't get it. No, this king of terrors had come and said, "Your time is up. Your time is up." But what a transition it is when we come to die. What a transition from time to eternity. Think upon it tonight, dear soul, if you're not saved in this meeting, in this gathering. Do you ever think of eternity? Do you ever think of the world to come? Eternity, eternity, think upon it. It's eternity without end. We're not talking about 10 years or 20 years. No, it's all of eternity. We can't grasp it or take it in. Are you ready for eternity? And what is this life, Tanithus? This life, dear friends, tonight, as we all know, it is only a very short span. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf. Be in time. Be in time. Life is short. And how sad it is. Yes, there is the reality from unbelief to the reality of judgment. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That's what the scripture says. Oh, that we could get people back to the word again. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Jesus spoke about hell. And it's not politically correct now to speak about hell. No, it's not to be mentioned, upsetting people. But the Lord Jesus Christ, as we know, preached more upon hell than he did upon heaven. Oh, may the hearts of God's people be stirred. We don't speak about it lightly. But didn't he speak about that place where the fire is not quenched? The fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. And for to go from this time, this world, out into eternity, to stand before the judge of all the earth. You remember the rich man? He lift up his eyes in hell, being in torments. And in this year, 2020, where is he? He's still there. He's still there. And he's still in torments. Leaving this world, leaving this earth, the transition from time to eternity when death comes. But does there any light appear from any quarter? You may say tonight to me, this is a very kind of a dour meeting. I came to hear something cheering and something uplifting. And we've heard about death, the king of terrors. Is there any light from any quarter? Is there any light to cheer the tomb, as it were? Praise God there is. Praise God there is. Yes, people today, they look at the philosophers and all of these people and their own good deeds, and they're taking advice from this one and the other one. Now let us hear the words of our Saviour. There's a Saviour tonight. There's a Saviour from all sin. There's one who saves from sin and from a lost eternity. He himself has overcome death. He has overcome the king of terrors, men and women. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. You remember what we read in John 11 and verse 25? There he said, listen to this proclamation. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Oh, dear soul, tonight take these words home with you. Shall never die. We're all going to die physically. That's if the Lord doesn't come immediately or within the next while. We're all going to die physically. But Jesus said, he shall never die. That is, never die spiritually. The soul will be saved and be with him forever and forever. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul. He said, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. If you die in the Lord, trusting him as your Lord and Savior, praise God, you'll be blessed for all eternity. There's an answer, you see, to the King of Terrors. He can be overcome. Listen again to the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians and chapter 5, the verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Most miserable. If only in this life we have hope. What's it all about? Oh, but the Apostle Paul is all of God's people have known down to the generations. It's not just in this life we enjoy Christ and his salvation. It is the life to come. It's the world to come. It's eternity. It is in heaven. Praise God, it has lost. It has lost its terrors. Again, the Apostle Paul there reminds us. He says, if we have no interest in Christ, as it were, if the dead rise not, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. And isn't that just the attitude? Isn't that the attitude of the man of the world? We see it. Let us eat and let us drink, tomorrow we die. If the dead rise not, what's the point? That's his argument, you say. But he's going on to argue about the resurrection and how sure it is. And isn't that, as I say, the way with the world tonight? Yes, let us eat, let us drink, because tomorrow we die. Tomorrow we die. And we can see how there is such a demand, such a push for what? The pubs to open, for all to open up. We want to eat, we want to drink. Tomorrow we're going to die. In other words, as the man of the world thinks, it's all over. And as I said this morning in the church, I don't say that in any boastful way, for there go I, but for the grace of God. But that's the thinking. Tomorrow we die. Let's enjoy it and live it up. But no thought of eternity. And what when this king comes? What when this king of terror comes? Death. And when men and women go out to stand before the judge of all the earth. Dear soul, tonight I have good news for you. I have good news. It is the good news of the gospel. Yes, people fear death. But when you trust Christ and cast your all upon him, and when you're saved, you need not fear death, because death is only the release from this world into glory. It's the release from sin and our failures and faults. It's the release from sickness and sorrow. For in heaven, Jesus tells us that there is no sorrow there. There is no weeping there. There's no pain there. There's a glory to come. Oh, let me urge you tonight, be saved. You know not what a day will bring forth. And call upon the Lord for mercy. And he will hear you and he will save you.